this part of which is being brought to you by Wonder Enriched Bread and Hostess Creamed Filled Cakes.
Ding dong. Okay, I forced myself to turn this thing on. My head was going, hey, yeah, but what are you going to say? Are you going to say that? Do you really want us to talk about that? And the words sort of started tumbling around in my head about what I should or should not be talking about, the more I realized, no, that's why I have the 30-second rule. Don't think, turn it on, let whatever comes out, comes out. Come out. So there you go. A scramble right off the bat. It is the Scarborough Dude. Who else? Broadcasting from Bluffers Park. It's the boat launch side this time. It's a nice view and a lot of ducks in the water. It's not frozen so often. I've been here this time of year. It is December 17th today. When 2018, when it's just covered in ice, so on. That's coming for sure. Been wild lately. Okay, so much for the weather, so much for the location. My headspace, well, jumbled as always. It's been an odd day. I'm just coming back from my accountant's office. I was there at 2 o'clock for our scheduled meeting. She wasn't there, and so I got talking to a couple of other people in the building and waited and finally went back out where I'd parked my car and got a call from her. I'm here now, but you're not supposed to be here. Our meeting was over the phone, or supposed to be. Well, I didn't know that, so that's just plain miscommunication. I thought I was coming in to sign papers for Canadian study tours. She said, no, I've got a whole lot of questions for you before we can move forward. This was going to be a phone conversation with you going through your files and so on. So that was a wasted trip. So I thought, all right, I'll make something out of it. I'll stop at Great Escape Books. And, of course, it's really hard on Kingston Road or anywhere near there to find a parking spot. Found the perfect spot just around the corner from Great Escape. Went there and, of course, closed Monday. So that didn't work out too well. Today my day started with getting my wife to a clinic and then having a very long wait in a very unpleasant clinic environment. But the reason she was there was because the specialist was in and she needed to see a specialist. Now, she doesn't like me going into anything personal about her, about our marriage, about our relationship, about anything. So I guess I can't go any further other than I'm glad I was with her, and I think with some medication, she will be fine over time. Let's just leave it at that. I've already crossed a line. I do have a tip for you males out there, and I'm addressing this to males because I don't think a female would do such a thing, in relationships. When your partner is suffering in a great deal of pain, you know, right near you, don't go to the fridge and get yourself a beer, okay? Just a tip, okay? We'll leave it at that. This thing, the National Association for Amateur Podcasting, my God, I know the minute you complain about something, it's like squeezing a pimple and suddenly you got this big thing, you know, turns into a boil. And that's what's happened there. So I shouldn't even talk about it now because it'll just get bigger and bigger. And all the people who used to be happy members of Canadian Amateur Podcasting have now gone somewhere else. Now, of course, this kind of message is only directed at the inner circle, people in the know, people, members of those communities, and this is why it's very difficult to pimp this podcast outside of this little circle. because somebody listening to this who doesn't know what the hell is going on is thinking, what the hell is going on? I don't relate to that. What's the point of that kind of silly conversation? So it does really limit the scope. And I would like to be able to, you know, just find a topic that might be of interest to a lot of people, including non-listeners of the Dixon James podcast, and say, oh, wow, that was interesting. Now, it turns out, I don't know if I shared it last time, but while I was sending out this 12 Principles of Humanism, I somehow ended up on Dixon James number 500. I'm surprised to find, yes, this is the episode I recorded right after my first visit to Westdale United, meeting Greta Vosper, and it turns out her husband as well, not her wife, Scott, who was the man I had lunch with on Friday. Scott said, what is this podcast thing? I know YouTube. I don't know what this is. It's something that, you know, and I said, well, okay, YouTube without the video, like radio. And I tried to explain, and then he said, well, how do I listen? So I was going to send him the episode I just put out and realized, that's a lot to ask of anybody, an hour, you know, which to me is a great podcast, especially when you're high. Well, this gentleman does not get high, other than through natural means. So I gave him just the last 6 minutes of that podcast. Now, anybody who listened to Dixon James number 713 will recall that the last 7 minutes or 6 minutes, I had visits by Prick and Dork. Now, I thought it was pretty funny. But also, you know, almost a test, sending him that. Okay, I just want you to know, if anybody listens to this show, this is the kind of thing and the kind of language you might come across. Well, fortunately, Scott found it funny. I think he might have seen some of the creativity in this thing. It would have been a strange thing to hear. Like, so that's a podcast? You know, somebody swearing at you and telling you to eat shit? That's, well, okay. But along with that, I placed the link for the entire episode, Dixon James 500, which was the end of the Dixon James podcast and about to be the beginning of the Baby Sally Talks or Sally Talks or whatever it became for 50 episodes. But it recorded quite accurately what my feelings were. Now, he listened to it, and not only did he listen to it, but Greta listened to it. So when I recorded that 3.5 years ago, I've just come back from this church that I've been to the first time to find out who is this Greta Vosper. I would have no idea that 3.5 years later, Greta and Scott would hear that very podcast. And I'm going to share with you, and this is the thing I was having doubts about in the beginning. Should I really do it? Is it private, or is that okay to share that? And I'm going to, because after reading it, Scott sent me back an email as follows. Greta and I have been sitting on the couch together, she with her morning coffee, listening to your podcast selection about your first day at West Hill. I listened to the shorter one you sent before, that was with Prick and Dork. Greta was up and smiled throughout, thank you. What a treat to listen to your very detailed and sensitive observations and comments and reflections. So many times we looked at each other with smiles or with amazement at how observant you were and how comprehensively you covered the experience. Now, folks, this is me in real time now. That just brought a very big smile to my face. I mean, wow. Seeing it from their perspective, oh, this is a man who came to our church for the first time, and this is what he experienced. Okay, back to the letter. It reinforced for us how important the work is, how glad we are that you found your way to this community and have become such a vital part of it. Please know that whatever you receive from being here, your presence and generous sharing of yourself
in brackets. Yes, your real whole self, as we were discussing, is a gift to us and so many others. So there you go. Now, I've got a huge truck with rocks in front of me, and it's kind of scary. I got to back the hell up here. Whoa. Jesus Christ. Sorry. But that is one scary load. Okay. Didn't mean to end on that note. So there you go, folks. Believe me, that brought a tear to my eye. That, wow, I show up. I have this experience. I record this experience on a podcast. The people who are behind that experience hear about it and are touched by it. And this is all, I guess maybe the last podcast and certainly episode 500 are all about this kind of stuff, about my joining this church and what it means to me. And I know, oh my God, for some of you, not more. Come on, man. Heard enough about this goddamn church. It's just, it has become such a part of my life. I spent today fixing the blog for the, updating the blog for our book club, which is going to be interesting. We're going to have to decide who's going to lead what sections. And I like that, to get in there with a group of people and maybe leading off the questioning and the discussions. You know, this is, you know, my teaching skills coming back into the fore. And then, you know, sending in a spreadsheet with all the money I've collected so far for the book order. Yeah, I'll take that on, no problem. It's just so amazing. And I guess really one of the things I'm getting at here that I hope you can understand is, so often I question, well, why are you doing this podcast? But this one example of that particular episode that resonated over the years, that connected with somebody else, that sent out connections and feelings, it had an impact. And this is one of the things Scott talks about every week. He always has his moment to talk about being grounded and guided. There's another G. It's not good. Grounded, guided, and growing, I guess. And, you know, this just kind of tied in with that. So I think I better just pull the plug right there. I got that part out of me. I don't know where else to go. I've got to get back home and check in on my wife, who's got new medication. I should prepare some food. I know what. I've got to go back home and get on the phone with my accountant and straighten out the business of Canadian study tours. Okay. Scarborough Dude. Signing off with a head all a twirl from Bluffers Park. Bye for now.
Yeah, okay. Should we fade that out a little bit? I just wanted it in there. I've been listening to CFMZ 96.3 in Toronto, FM station, of course, for just their classical music. There's a few ads in there, and I have to switch it back to CBC 2. But it's kind of nice, and it's a nice change, and it's odd, you know. I'm in my wife's car, of course, and she's off work for another few days, but is on the road to recovery. Yeah, you know, I could be listening to podcasts in the car. I mean, I'm behind so many. I've got them stacked up, including the whole Roads to Sackville, or Roads from Sackville, or Stories from Sackville, which is a nice flow. And, of course, that's Doc Pinko and his friend. One of the things that's interesting about listening to people younger than myself is what was culturally important to them in their coming of age years, or even their childhood. And it's so different from mine. Like, I'm going back, all right, childhood. No, it wasn't Sesame Street, it was Captain Kangaroo. Well, that's a big difference there. That's why I introduced, I guess a couple of episodes ago, I introduced it with the theme, opening theme to Captain Kangaroo. I don't think many people picked up on that. And the music that I would have listened to compared to, you know, the youngsters out there. And of course, the spread, what's wonderful about this little Canadian amateur podcasting community, CAP, is the age range, you know, of just the different kinds of music. But especially, I guess it really rings true in television, like so much of what was really important to some of the people I listened to, I just finished. Like, television didn't have, I mean, growing up, yeah, it was the neat new thing. But during the 60s, it was all music for me. From, you know, the time we started getting high, you didn't want to watch television, man. That was for your squares. That was for your parents, maybe. You wanted to listen to LPs and the radio, the FM stations, like I've been reading about. So, and then by the time I left Montreal in 1972 and moved to Vancouver, I didn't have a television. You know, nobody watched TV. So there's a whole lot that's missing, and I'm kind of glad of it. Other things fill the place, but it also makes me, I think, at least aware of what it's like to come from another culture. For example, my wife's case, and not have grown up with all these cultural references that people can joke about. So sometimes I have to look things up. Oh, who is that? Who the hell are you talking about? But anyway, that's fine. Whereas something like, to go full circle back to classical music, it's ageless, it's timeless, it's just a lot of wonderful stuff. So that's been my latest listening thing. But I will go back, and when I can find the time. I must say, I must confess, that I've been listening back to a few of my own podcasts. Since that stumbling on number 500 and getting that letter from Scott, saying, wow, that was interesting. I've gone back to a few of the ones from the Baby Sally Talks era. That would be episode 501 to 550, after which I went back to Dixon Janes, because it was really Dixon Janes all along, with only a name change. The attempt at being polite and appealing to a wider listening audience was a failure, and just as well. But there's a clip, you'll probably hear it, I'll probably insert it somewhere in here, when I'm in Bluffers Park and I see a Road Trek 190 and think, wow, if I could find one of those used, that would be great. So already that seed is planted. And I told my son about it today. My son, who still thinks I've joined a cult or belong to a cult. And he said, I know it sounds negative. It's not necessarily negative, but it is a cult. And they want you in that cult. And, you know, I find it funny. But anyway, he was saying, no, when I talked about how neat it was that I could hear myself a few years ago talking about a Road Trek, in even the same model, the 190, and now I have one. He said, yeah, it manifested itself. And I haven't you. I said, wow, that's so interesting. You used the word manifest. He said, yeah, like that's what life is. And I said, no, I always think of it as a seed that begins to germinate and sprout and grows into some kind of, it bears fruit or whatever, you know. But the word manifest, that's a very interesting choice of words. And maybe a lot of things in my life have manifested. I was listening to another one from the podcast was me reading through a letter that I'd written from Nigeria, probably in 1980, and it was for a ceremony of a thank you for something for a Mr. Akella, a fine, good man, a man of probably no significance in the Nigerian sense. He wasn't a big somebody and so on, but it was just a good Christian man who doing his best for his family and was a teacher. And they were treated very poorly. Often salaries didn't get paid for months at a time and so on. Anyway, I was beating up on myself for not having the courage to stand up and express words of gratitude and say nice things about him. So this is Ken much later reading back about the Ken writing to Barnacle Bill in 1980 or 81 about my failures as not yet having the courage, the confidence, or not yet doing the things that I know were right to do. And it was amazing to me to hear that even back then, 30 or more years ago, 20, whatever, yeah, almost 40 years ago, I'm wanting to be a better person. I'm wanting to stand up and say the right thing. And I don't mean that for recognition, but because it's the right thing to do. He was a good man. I should have stood up and acknowledged that and said that to his face in front of other people. But I was too shy, too reserved, too lacking in something. So I thought about it, but didn't do it. And now I do those things. So through looking back at the Dixon Janes podcast, I am seeing a personal growth. And it does excite me. It does make me feel good that, yeah. Because this started off, I used to joke, of course, all the time, no, this is just my therapy. And while I don't think it's the podcast that has actually changed me, the podcast is a reflection of those changes. And marks the passage of time and the personal growth and the growing of confidence to the point where I'm at now, of feeling, I guess, much more comfortable with who I am and much more inclined, excuse me, to do what I think is the right thing. So, sorry, that's what I wanted to share with you today. So I'm sitting here, I was on my way to Thompson Park. I took the shortcut and instead find myself parked in front of where that beautiful big maple tree stood, facing into the church cemetery here at St. Andrews. It's kind of lovely, even in the winter, there's only one or a couple of fir trees that are still, you know, have the pines and the needles that are green. And the rest are just all bare of leaves. And it's kind of got that stark winter scene, but no snow on the ground. It's just bare. Lovely day, in fact. The sun is out. The sky is blue. Puffy white clouds. All right, never mind the weather reports, boy. So, I don't know what else I needed to share with you. Just that I've really been enjoying. Last night I had the TV in the background, but turned the sound down, and then actually went and got a pair of headphones, big headphones to cover the ears, and listened to myself. That's partly why I haven't caught up on these stories from Sackville yet, but I'll get around to that. There's no rush with podcasts, right? They're not time-sensitive. Yeah. So, I'll finish my coffee. Gosh, I thought I was going to be able to have enough here for a whole coffee cast. But that's really all I wanted to talk about, was this, the satisfaction I'm finding that I've done this. I continue to do these podcasts. And when I listen back, yeah, there's a lot of dribble. But there are reflections that, if nothing else, are meaningful to me. And I do like to think that long after I'm gone, or maybe shortly after I'm gone, that if my sons ever wanted to find another little part of me, that here I am, boys. I'm alive right now, facing a cemetery. And I hope you think well of me. I hope this reflection, these memories, these talkings that I do, I hope they don't reflect too badly on me, that I really did try my best to grow in life, to develop, to be a better human. And it's a never-ending process. And, of course, you're reinventing yourself with every single action you take. And even these past few days with my wife's illness, I've learned some lessons. And I guess there's a lot of things that are better left unsaid. That's certainly the way she would prefer it. But we learn. We continue to learn. I'm just back from the church. I'll just throw that part in too. I went to drop off that money and to pick up my copy. Oh yes, I have a new book here now. My copy. So yet another book. This is very much a podcast about a man who still likes to read. My copy, come on, of Dr. Brian Goldman's The Power of Kindness, Why Empathy is Essential in Everyday Life. And it's a beautiful white cover. My goodness, yes, I'll take a picture and post it with this podcast. This is the book that we will be doing for our book study group. And while I was there, when I talked to Annie in the office and dropped off the money and picked up my copy, I was reminded, by the way, he is the host of CBC Radio's White Coat, Black Art. I was reminded of our longest night ceremony, the darkest night, when we go into the church and all the lights are off and it's quite dark. And there is some ritual, perhaps I could use that word, that gradually we bring back light and everybody gets to light a candle, I guess one at a time, and place them on the table. And it is quite beautiful. And I was thinking, I don't know, I might not go, but it is, I will go, and it will be a good experience. And I will also use that opportunity to distribute some of these books. So I look forward to doing that. I'm going to meet with the other members of the book committee and decide who's going to do what chapters and as we lead sessions. And that's all a good thing. So where was I going to? Oh, yes. So while I was there, Jean was there. And Jean is this 96-year-old, amazing woman with all her wits about it. Now, she jokes. She talks about the last book we read in the book club, Sapiens. She said, I found this book, and it's full of notes and writings in the margin and underlining, so I know I read it, but can't remember. And I said, Jean, this is, you know, you were a very active participant, and it is quite wonderful. Like, she comes to the book club meetings, and she talks, and she asks questions, and she is sharp, and she is with it, and she has an incredible sense of humor, and is very self-deprecating. She is a World War II, you know, was with some active service, and was also in the women's version of whatever my father was, a Mason. I forget what it was called. She explained it to me, and we had a talk about Scarborough when she first moved here. And it's just wonderful to have a person like that around that you can still talk to, and Jean will be just so dearly, sadly missed when her time comes. But she's not about to leave us yet, and it's just another one little bonus of, I suppose, attending any church. You find old people, but old people have their wits about them and have character and have a real sense of humor. And you know, it was so nice to hear her say how much she enjoys the book study meetings. She's there on a Friday night, and she's ready, and she's read and made notes, and is, as I say, an active participant, so that's just great. All right, I'll leave it on that positive note. It's odd, because now I can think into the future, if I listen back to this, what can is this, you know? Have I progressed? If I'm still doing this 3 years from now, have I made further progress? Have I left the church? Will I still be there? How are my boys doing? How is my marriage? Are we still living in that house on Farmbrook Road? You know, my goodness. What's ahead? Am I still making sense? I do sometimes. I mean, I do talk about, you know, the forgetting words and so on. I really don't worry about that. I can still engage in very active, intelligent conversation. So I'm not worried about a fuzzy brain. Yes, the memory isn't as sharp, and yes, I can't as quickly come back, but I'll hold my own in these little tit-for-tat pun fests and so on. All right, on that note of bragging, Scarborough Dude will sign off, and back to the boys. You've certainly made my life all that much richer, and I'm very grateful for that. My goodness, it's hard to say something along those lines, and why should I be anyway? Is this the time to try and say I love you? And no, as we all do, any parent knows, I could have been better at this whole thing. There's so much more. If I was to replay it, I would play it differently. But we cannot go backwards. We can only go forward. And I want to say that I'm enjoying very much the relationship I'm having with the son who remains at home, Chuck. The conversations we have when I drive him to and from the airport or even to the vape shop and back. I read him out Scott's email to me that I read on this podcast. And, of course, that's when he said, yeah, it's still a cult. But we have good, we have just very different thinkings, but it's so wonderful that we can engage in conversation. And number one son, Jerry, out in the West Coast, who we don't see as often, I hope that he just grows and continues to get stronger and, has an awful lot of my characteristics, I think. To both boys, friendship is very important, and I'm very, very glad about that. Where do I go with this? I think it's best just to end here and put on a song. Maybe a song that will have some meaning and maybe have some significance. Ooh, that'd be a hard one to choose. So whatever song follows, believe me, I put a lot of thought into it. Scarborough Dude, signing off. I break down.
Investigator was there too. After all, who better to track down a turkey on such a short notice than he?
It's actually the third easiest job I've ever had. You know, they gave me $60 to go and buy a turkey. I called the guy who gave me one for $25, so with the other money that I pocketed, I just bought this beautiful men's leather hat. Size 5. I hope everybody likes the turkey. It was the only one I could find.
Reunited all because of a letter written to Santa over 30 years ago. And thanks to the insatiable curiosity of a Snoopy librarian, it would be a holiday that everyone would remember. And for one person, it would be one for the ages.
There you go. That's the only Christmas you're going to get from me. Well, not really. It almost brought tears to my eyes. That was CBC Radio's This Is That. And I know Jason from Tennessee knows and loves that show, as he does Corner Gas. But they are so good. And it's such a gentle, kind humor. So much of the humor, you know, on television is hurtful and sharp and nasty, and kids being cruel, you know, and the things they say, you know, and these guys, there's just something purely innocent and beautiful about it. It really is, and to me, it's really Canadian. I mean, it was just by chance I had the radio on and picked that up. I've just come come from an uglier place, the Scarborough Town Center. I'm parked behind it now, back at the Scarborough Civic Center, where I podcast from, I guess, man, on the last episode. You know, that dog poop park or something? Hand of God Park? Hand of God Dog Park? Something crazy like that. I went in. I was going to get my son an ice pen. I thought right away, oh, great, I'll just go to Staples and I'll find an ice pen. And, gee, even better, they take air miles. Oh, yeah, I'll find something there. And right away, my wife said, go to Muji. And Muji's a Japanese store of quality products at a reasonable price. It's a chain all over Japan since about 1980, I think. I don't know. Anyway, they're open here at the town center, and I did find not fancy pens, just regular pens that cost a little more, and a notepad, but it is nice, and it's like a stocking stuffer, because we're not doing a lot of gifts this year. I think for number one, they're not allowed to say that, for Jerry out on the West Coast, whose birthday is the end of January. They both get shortchanged, of course, having birthdays. Chuck has a birthday January. Well, I shouldn't say early January. Don't want to give those dates away. You know, things sometimes get combined. So for Jerry, we'll probably say, look, get a ticket to Toronto, and we'll pay for it, and just come and visit us. Be a nice thing. Again, my wife's idea. So my wife said, go to Muji and get something. So really, there wasn't much there. But I made a point of going into the only bookstore left there, which was Indigo Spirit. And I've ranted about this before. And I went in simply to get angry. What a stupid thing to do. I went in knowing I would walk out angry. I can laugh now. How could you be so stupid? But it was to prove a point that not one person in that entire fucking shopping mall would step foot inside a used bookshop, which is where I went yesterday to get three books. I got four, but one of them was so the cover was so tatty that I said, no, I better not give that as a gift. I'll just keep that and let him read it later if he wants. It was Brave New World, a wonderful copy. I'll get back to that in a minute. But yeah, like, you know, it's crammed a tiny little space because people don't buy books. So you've got copies and copies of the same one, like Steve Hawking, Short Answer to Everything, or something like it, All the Big Questions, something like that. $25, ridiculous price. Now, I saw it and thought, oh, I'd be, you know, Chuck might enjoy reading that. Now, for $10, I would have bought it. For $15, probably no. Okay, I'm coming. Jesus. Check the tire pressure. No, thank you. But and all little gifts and little stocking stuffers. And this nothing to do with fucking literature or reading or something. You know, there might have been one Evelyn Waugh book for $6. It just, I'm not annoyed at the store. I'm annoyed at the public who doesn't read anymore. And everybody there. The shopping mall, fucking, it's got to be 80% fashion store. Now, I say that, and of course Chuck went there to buy very nice shoes, and I realize, okay, it's me. I'm the old man. I'm the guy who likes the old ways. This is not my world. Clearly, as an economic model, it's the world of everybody else. But I just, in my mind, I see three bookstores that I'm excited about. Used bookshops. I can go in, and it's not just cheapness. It's because you don't really know what you're going to find. You don't have fucking 50 copies of Stephen Hawking's slamming you in the face. Buy this! You know, and they'll sell. Nobody will read them. Not the kind of people who are buying them from, and for the people who are they're giving them to. They'll say, oh, thank you. Wow, that's interesting. Maybe show it off. Look what I got. So I know my world is passing, but it deeply saddens me. So let me go back to, I brought books with me. Of course, I can't even leave the house without books, even if I don't take the time to read them. But this little $4 copy, which when it was new as a paperback was only 35 cents. This is one of those Bantam books. An amazing cover. I've already posted it. Brave New World, Huxley, the third big printing. And this was written in 1932, and I guess Huxley wrote a preface or a foreword. Yeah, and I love what he's doing in the foreword is saying, you know, this is a flawed novel, because he was very critical of himself. But if I started to do it, number one, it would be a vanity project. Number two, the whole thing would change, because you'd have to change the good parts and the bad parts. And why do that? Let it stand as it is and as a failure, because there's no point in trying to undo the mistakes of the past. Just move on. Learn from it and move on. That's his message. And that's a message for life. That's why I love Huxley. And I'm so glad. Again, this same bookstore, walking by, she had a table outside, like, just maybe 20 books, maybe half price, just there. And one of them was a Huxley biography. And that got me started back on Huxley. Yes, of course. Here's the first paragraph. I'll just read that to you. Chronic remorse, as all the moralists are agreed, is a most undesirable sentiment. If you have behaved badly, repent, make what amends you can, and address yourself to the task of behaving better next time. On no account brood over your wrongdoing. Rolling in the muck is not the best way of getting clean. God, that's brilliant. And this is why, like, there's a density. Like, as I walk through the mall and I'm just muttering swine, you know, to the people all around me. And I know that's, well, it's what? It's just the way I am. It's just the way I feel. I hate shopping malls, and I know I'm not alone. I know listeners to podcasts, probably some of you would agree. Yeah. Wow, what a great idea. Use bookshops. People who think. And I guess the fear is that in today's society, people just are less and less inclined to think because you've got answers. You're told what's right. You're given the sound bites. You're given the top stories. You know, it's done for you, and you're guided towards what you should buy, what you should wear, what you should, you know, how you should behave, whatever. And it's just disturbing. Anyway, no point me whining on and on. I am already deep into the book that we're using for our book study, The Power of Kindness. I won't go through. I've gone through the yellow highlighter. My God, I'm already a third of the way through. I'll be done long before this book club starts, and of course then I'll go back. It's good. It's good. You know, there's not a whole lot of meat in there, but it's very well written, very readable, and I think it was a good choice. And of course there's more to get out of it. All right, let's park that. And what else did I bring with me? Oh yeah, well, of course, the other one I'm reading, Island. And so I have these two copies. Huxley's Island, which was meant to address the possibility of what a utopian society might look like, whereas Brave New World, which I'll read after the utopian novel Island, is a dystopia. And it's just, the cover is just fabulous. This is really tattered. I couldn't give it as a gift. This is a savage, witty, and shocking story of a natural man in an unnatural world. Aldous Huxley's sardonic vision of a cellophane-wrapped tomorrow. A world where freedom is not just dead, but forgotten. A licentious world where morality, as we know it, is taboo. It is an open-eyed, unforgettable look at tomorrow that is frighteningly possible. Now, this is a guy who didn't fight in World War I, but certainly lived through it as a student and saw people coming back damaged or not coming back at all. A Los Angeles Times wrote, a book to read again and again and to ponder before oblivion comes. So, anyway, it's just things like this just excite me, and I'm glad. I mean, I can live in my own world. I don't have to worry about all the zombies walking through the shopping mall. You know, this is me. This is my world. I'm okay. So what else do I need to do? I guess I should make an effort at a little. I haven't got anything from my shelves. I was just, no, don't get that. Don't buy this crap, you know. Just don't waste money. She's already feeling bad for having to buy a ticket home from Vancouver to Toronto, having missed her flight by 10 minutes. Not even that, missed the boarding time by 10 minutes. But anyway, so I'll stop there and come back to you and probably put this out today or tomorrow. I'll try to come back with something a little more cheery, maybe. Scarborough Dude, signing out from his beloved Scarborough. Okay, I've only got a few minutes to end this thing off. I don't know if I actually meet the standards of the NAAP for having this, getting their seal of approval for this particular podcast. I know I was grandfathered in for Canadian Amateur Podcasters only because I was the only one old enough to actually be a grandfather, although I'm not, that I know of. Anyway, looking at their posts on Twitter, I find more they've taken a broad approach to trying to help members monetize, gain new listeners, and so on for their for the podcast. So I've gone through, I checked on them. They've got a lot of things that could be of use. If you're to follow some of these guidelines, I'm looking under business here. Number one, there was three main points. Plan out the fine details. And I have to see if I actually do that. Some things you want to plan out. This is in advance, right? It says, no one said planning was fun, but it's necessary. Every aspect of your podcast should have a plan that guides and directs your vision as you move forward. Uh-oh. You should plan out topics, themes, niches, target audience, long-term and short-term goals. Oh, my God. Budget. What will make you stand out or a different angle you could use? The duration of each episode. Well, I've got that part. You know, it's always 60 minutes or thereabout. Okay, well, I don't know. They're talking about making notes and so on. Gosh, that's hard. Let's skip to number two. Create and edit. Editing. If you're just starting out, it'll be tempting to buy most expensive. Just get some equipment so that you can hear well. Make sure you're creating content in a quiet environment with zero background noise. Listen, I'm sorry, but I'm in the road truck, and I had to fire up the engine. It's been a few days since I've warmed this thing up, so I guess I kind of fail on that account. Make sure you're creating content in a quiet zone with zero background noise. Can you hear it? Can you hear the engine in the background? I don't know. The audience can't rely on anything but your voice, so make sure it's audible and no static. Okay. And then you'll have to edit. All right, number three, upload and promote. If you have a list of email subscribers, I've got a lot of email friends, email them the link to your podcast, inviting them to listen. Tell them why they'd want to. Ooh, that's a hard one. Why it would interest them. Oh, my God. And to share it if they like it. Why would anybody want to listen to the Dixon James podcast? And what would be interesting. Okay. Create a blog post explaining what it's all about. Well, I've kind of done that, although nobody visits it. When it's going on air and what listeners can expect in the future. Not so good at the future bit. Till I get there. Oh, you can create a blog post for every new podcast so your episodes and readers can skim a quick summary to see if they'd be interested. Oh. No, I don't think I want to do that. Okay. It's essential and promotional step marketing isn't left behind. Creating stellar content is important. Stellar content. Oh, but if no one sees it, it's as good as worthless. Oh, my God. It's getting that content in front of people that really matters. The more people see it, the more likely it'll get shared. Okay. All right. Well, wrapping up. Setting up a podcast isn't easy, but it isn't too difficult either. Well, there you go. You have to be ready to map out all the finer details before you get started and know what you want to get out of it. With enough research and planning, you could have with enough research and planning, you could have the next greatest podcast. They didn't say great, they said greatest podcast. Well, my goodness, thank you very much. So this is from the NAAP, the North American Amateur Podcast. It's I don't know who's actually behind it. Sometimes they say I, sometimes it's we. I suppose to have their seal of approval would be a really good thing. I am following on Twitter. Apparently you have to. We'll see how that goes. All right, anyway, listen. That's the kind of thing I think you're supposed to edit out when they talk about editing, right? If you cough or sneeze or fart. Okay, so listen, boys and girls, this brings an end to the Dixon James podcast number 700, what was it, 13, 14? And, but tell you what, there'll be another one next week after Christmas. So if you get this and hear this before Christmas, I hope you have a joyful time. Give somebody you love a big hug. Make it a little extra longer. Make that hug a little longer. And, be good to yourself. Be good to yourself, because loving yourself can be one of the hardest damn things to do. Scarborough Dude, signing out.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Every now and then we have to go. No, no, we got to go. That's all. No, law is here. Thank you, though, for having made it. We got to split. So you know who everybody in the band is. I'm not going to even call it names. It's too late. Thank you. My seat.